Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, what does a bad draft even look like for the Texans at this point? This was Nick Caserio, Hardo Caserio, focused, blood-smelling Caserio, just a few minutes ago, 1 week from the draft. This was Nick Caserio talking about the offseason that was, expectations, all that type of stuff.
The offseason and some of the things that we've done, I mean, frankly, it's kind of laughable. I mean, it's so early. I mean, we haven't done anything. So what happened last year has no bearing on this year. So we're focused on right now. We're focused on the present. We're focused on improvement. And I think the players' focus is just on their attitude, their effort, and their commitment to being a good player. So outside of that, I mean, the rest of it is just a bunch of garbage. Hopefully we've improved the team. We're really not going to know if we have or not until training camp. I would say, and honestly, I think the division, when you look at what the other teams around us have done a great job. So, you know, hopefully we can keep pace with what's going on in division as well.
All right, there you go. That's Nick Caserio. Hardo thinks it's ridiculous. I feel attacked. But what does a disappointing draft look like? Like, what is there anything that the Texans could do? Because at this point, like, normally I'll approach the draft. I'll have my opinions, as silly as that might be. Sometimes you're disappointed the day after the draft. Sometimes you end up looking silly. Sometimes you're excited. You end up looking silly as well. Silly season's a thing. But in this scenario, with where they are, with where the trust level is, with the fact that it appears the Texans have earned the benefit of the doubt, what does people being disappointed about the draft even look like? Because I'm having an impossible time imagining it.
Well, it definitely can't happen in the way that he's talking about it. Like, he's talking about how silly it is that, you know, the day after or the day of, immediately after the draft, you got the immediate reaction of draft grades. I got a tough time seeing how the immediate reaction is going to be a negative draft grade because of all of this trust, because of everything that they've done, because of all of the equity that they've built. It's literally one of those wait and see. Like, you're not going to be able to give it a negative draft grade. You just kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. Won't be able to give them that negative grade until they actually have a draft full of King and Greens or Brandon Hills, who we mentioned in the press conference, like something like that, a bunch of dudes that don't contribute. Then it looks like a bad draft, but we have no way of knowing that ahead of time. And they got the credibility already built up.
I'm going to go ahead and stick my chest out and say what would disappoint me in this draft. I don't have a specific thing that I want them to do at 42. I don't have a specific thing that I want them to do later on in the draft. But for me, what disappointment looks like in this draft is ignoring two positions, tight end and running back. That would be the disappointing thing for me, because I think that's proactive and realistic improvement.
Yeah.
You can say we need a defensive lineman and we're going to take the best defensive lineman available in the second round, and it's a cluster. It's going to be hard to find that guy. Last time they did that, they got Ross Blacklock. Ross Blacklock lasted a couple of years on the team. So that did not go well. But when it comes to the tight end position, and when it comes to the running back position, especially with how the draft is laid out, I think they have opportunity there to get guys that can contribute. And I think there's a number of guys that they can get there to contribute. So the neglect of those two positions for me would be the most disappointing thing, because I think they need multiple backs that can make plays, and I think they need to improve the tight end position. Let's not forget this. Part of the reason that Dalton Schultz got his deal, on top of what he did last year, is because the tight end market was so bad.
Yep. Benefited from the market the way he didn't the year before.
And they still need tight ends that can block. Right now they have Brevin Jordan after him. The guy that you thought was going to be the blocking tight end was Teagan Quateriano. He can't stay healthy, so we don't know what the heck he's going to be. Running back, you feel good about Joe Mixon, but do you want to ask Joe Mixon to play 80-85% of the time? It's not a good idea. So for me, as far as disappointment, and I think this is kind of proportional to where they are, because it's not like it's the end of the world if it doesn't happen, but ignoring the tight end and running back position, for me, that would be what would make me somewhat disappointed from this whole thing, as opposed to them drafting this guy and I like this guy better. I'm not as much in that business as I once was. Still give the opinion, but because it is such a cluster, I'm not like pounding the table, say you got to take this guy instead of that guy, especially based on where they're picking.
See, I like that you're super specific with the positions that you would be disappointed with them not coming away with. But the only one I can 100% get what you on is actually running back, because, and here's why: if they don't get the tight end, all right, if they don't spend a, you know, let's say one of their higher picks on a tight end, but they do so on a receiver and they still get a weapon, then I'm only going to really still be side-eyeing running back, because that's where I got the most questions. I do expect Dalton Schultz to be their primary tight end, for better and worse, right? For his strengths and his weaknesses. It would confuse me a little bit if they didn't get a tight end, but I think I would be more so disappointed if you come away from this and you ain't drafted a tight end, a running back, or a wide receiver, and you don't have any weapons that you've added. That would be the only way, but I also can't really see that happening.
I see no chance in hell that they ignore running back today or
next week.
I see no chance in hell. I was talking to John Harris yesterday, Draft Mania, and there were three guys that he said that he likes at running back on day two at different times. He likes Trey Benson out of Florida State, who I do too. I think he's a stud.
Yep.
He likes Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. Don't like him as much as John Harris does. And he likes Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. And then there's some scat backs on day three that he could entertain. But those are the three backs that he likes. There's a chance you could get either one of those guys with your second, third-round pick.
Yeah.
And assuming that Joe Mixon isn't available the full time, I think you're doing a really good job there in adding those guys.
Yeah, and I really think, and I know obviously they didn't do it last year, but I wouldn't mind if they like drafted a running back every year. Like, to me, for the position, the way it's valued or devalued, it is best to get in on the running back early. I've always said I'm much more reluctant to pay a running back than I am to draft one, even with a higher pick. So I don't know if this would be as disappointing as it was. It would excite me if they use, as much as I'm into receiver, as much as we're in a tight end, if they use one of those second-round picks on a running back, because that would, not only would they be adding to the position, but they would be indicating to us how highly they think of a prospect like that. Like, they would be telling us, not only are we adding to this position, but we think that this guy could actually be a player for us. And that in and of itself would get me excited about whichever guy they drafted, if it's a running back. So I'm with you more so specifically on running back than tight end, as great as the need is there at tight end, to get somebody that can do everything.
Yeah, I think it's something to keep a very, very, very close eye on, the tight end and the running back position. Defensive lineman, John Harris likes Braden Fisk out of Florida State. He says if he's there, then let's make that pick. Okay, whatever. We can get make that happen. He does think that that's a D'Amico guy. Perhaps he's not even there. But that's what the disappointment looks like for me, is not addressing that. Landry Locker, B. Scott here. Nick Caserio also was talking about just the overall outlook of the offseason, all that. Nick Caserio, here's what he had to say about that. And, man, this dude's in a mood today.
We have 9 picks. We'll see if that changes or stays static. But just given our history, it'll probably change at some point. Try to add the right people with the right mindset. We're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us, and that's okay. You know, we're just looking for the right people with the right mindset, that are right fit, that, you know, we think can help us win football games. So not to oversimplify it, but yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, not to oversimplify it, but let's keep it dead-ass simple. Let's keep it dead-ass simple and just find the right guys. Hardo Nick today, man. So is that a theme over there at NRG now, though? Because we've heard it from Will Anderson, and then we just heard it from Nick Caserio.
Yeah, what does that mean, though?
We ain't for everybody.
But here's the thing. I don't know what that means, because
the standard is the standard.
Well, I don't know what that means, because they brought in Stephon Diggs.
Right.
Like, in the past, if you would have thought, okay, this guy is not tough, smart, dependable, then I feel like not for everyone. I don't think it's like a set-in-stone type of thing. I don't think they look for certain personality traits when it comes to being a Texan. I think it's a lot more open than perhaps we may have thought. And I think that's kind of the transition. You talk about transitions. That's kind of the transition that my mind goes through when we're talking about this, because I don't think there's just like a set in stone, this guy's got to do this. I think they're more open to bringing guys in because of the culture that they've built with D'Amico, Ryan, CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, all that.
But it also feels like they're about bucking narratives or just putting them off to the side, because – you know, based off of everything that we've heard between specifically, I guess, D'Amico and Nick Caserio, they clearly do not buy into this idea that Stephon Diggs, and the closest thing we got to validating it from anybody in charge over there was Kyle McNair saying, hey, if he goes sideways a little bit, they might have to reel him in.
That was the best quote of the offseason for me.
Yeah.
Because that was Kyle McNair when he was talking. I think that was the Bristol interview, Jason Bristol, where Cal McNair didn't just come in and say, well, Stephon Diggs is perfectly going to buy into everything that the Texans have, and that strong personality that we've seen for 5 years is, you don't have to worry about it. Basically, what Cal McNair said is, you want guys who are intense. You want all types of personalities. I can't guarantee you that this personality is not going to, for lack of a better term, explode, but I would trust that the culture that we've built will be able to deal with it if it does get fired up. That was that for me. Like, when you talk about Cal McNair speaking and you talk about, you know, Cal McNair is built a certain way, that for me, that quote right there in the Jason Bristol interview, and you can check out the full thing on YouTube. Shout out to Bristol for getting that. But that to me was like the most realistic, transparent, confident, not BSing you display that I've seen from an owner in this town in a long time.
Yeah, it's a great quote from Cal, and like, you got to appreciate it. But at the same time, I would point out, like, more specific to how they feel about him coming in the building. Cal knows the least about the guy, and he even said that. I haven't met him. He obviously knows what the narrative is and what the discussion is. He was presented with the question. But, you know, you heard Nick Caserio talking about how him and D'Amico talk every day and how they actually talk to other people who know guys, and they actually do their research. He talked about, apparently Nick Caserio is an aggregator. He used the term aggregate and aggregating a couple of times. I thought that was interesting. But they know the guy the best and felt comfortable not only making the deal but then restructuring the contract, and then have just really shrugged their shoulders at this idea that he's going to be some kind of malcontent. Cal knows the least about him. So he's, to me, Cal's coming from it just as the owner, but from a similar perspective as the rest of us, like, hey, let's just see how it goes. Whereas I feel like Nick and D'Amico Ryans have a specific feeling and a good feeling about him being here.
Come a long way with the Texans. Very, very long way when it comes to what's going on with the Texans, the draft, all that type of stuff. And we should get a good idea of what exactly they're going to do sooner rather than later. He did pretty much hint that, you know, I'm Nick Caserio, I make trades, so there could be some trades coming through. Speaking of which,
for sure,
someone who was at the press conference, first guy to ask the Stephon Diggs question, by the way, Cody Stutes joins us right now, Houston football Cody Stutes, the Cody Stutes channel on YouTube. Cody, what was your biggest takeaway from Caserio? Kind of seemed like he was a little bit more hard-ass than we've seen Caserio in a long time.
I'd be scared to death if I was a team behind the Texans in the draft, because it feels like he is seeing the board and he is in total control and he's in his zone right now.
Yeah, he's in his bag.
He is ready to go. I mean, he basically told us we're open for business. We're making moves.
Yeah,
like that to me is like, and I mean, 8 trades last year, 7 trades the year before.
Yeah, it's the most dependable action that you can have with Nick Caserio in the draft is that he is going to wheel and deal in some form of fashion.
I see people all the time on social media like, oh, over 1.5 trades. I'm like, I want to bet at your sports book because that's the easiest money in the world.
Yeah. 1.5?
That's going to be over 1.5. He may make 1.5 trades before they're on the clock.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, to me, the biggest thing is he did not dispel the notion that there's something that you would be concerned about with Stephon Diggs, but he also addressed why Stephon Diggs might have been unhappy when he talked about, hey, you look at the situation he was in, and the situation here is different, and that's the biggest conversation.
It's kind of a flex.
That's the biggest conversation about Stephon Diggs being happy in Houston is the situation being better. Like the quarterback more, like the coach more, and then the ball goes to a teammate, and you actually feel like it's worthy to go to a teammate if you're Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, but he also, I felt, downplayed the, and he was asked about the restructuring of the contract, because there is this narrative or idea that part of that was to motivate him extra and to keep them, I guess, off the hook past this year. Now, of course, he deflects, but that is part of the conversation. Like, did you guys, you know, how much confidence do you have in Stephon Diggs past this year?
He did work around that, answering that with a clear and decisive answer. He worked around
what
that.
What does disappointment look like for you when it comes to this draft? For me, I just need a wide receiver. I mean, not a wide receiver. I need a tight end. I need a running back in some way, shape, or form. What does disappointment look like for you? Because I think there's a way bigger margin for error at this point with where we are.
I would think disappointment looks like a prioritization of 2025 and not 2024. And he talked about it today that some of this draft class is behind physically, and so maybe day one they're not ready to help you, and maybe you make a selection for 2025. So if they had a draft that was like a couple of offensive linemen that you know aren't playing right away and a couple of project players, like that would be kind of disappointing. I still believe there's opportunities to add contributors to the 2024 team.
Yeah, well, see, I'm going to push back on that, because is that really disappointing based off of how good, and I don't know necessarily how you feel, I'm not going to speak for you, but like the narrative about how well they've done already up until this point, like there's this feeling that the Texans could go out and play a football game today. And so would it not be smart money to be planning toward the future, given all that you've already done toward 2024? Like, they damn near got a team built.
Correct. And if they went and played a football game today, I'd be scared to death that Joe Mixon's not carrying the football because of an injury, or he's got to come off the field because he needs a rest.
You're not on Damian Pierce comeback season yet?
No.
All right. Just checking for the record.
I'd be scared to death that Dalton Schultz is the only tight end that you can consistently rely on in this team. I'd be scared about the depth at safety. And I know we got a Brandon Hill mention, but all we got was that Brandon Hill has an opportunity to make the team. That was the mention.
Well, and also that he was the only one who didn't contribute last year.
Yeah. Correct.
I'm sure he felt great about that.
It was basically like, well, we only had one guy not contribute last year, so
but he's back.
That was a low-key Caserio flex too, because it's like, hey, remember that awesome draft class that I had literally everybody but the 7th round guy contribute at some point?
You know what y'all should have done?
And you can't dismiss him.
You know what you should have done?
Said.
Followed up with that 2022 draft. They're like, hey, is Christian Harris and Derek Stingley's hamstrings not carrying in that draft right now?
That is my favorite part about the draft grade conversation, is because to an extent, I kind of understand why a guy like Nick Caserio would hate Monday morning draft grades. I don't know if he wants us to always go back and look at, you know, like 2021 draft grades.
No. Yeah, right. It's been some time.
Right.
Cody Stutes in the building, straight from the Caserio presser. Coming up, time to get transparent. Let's have a little lunchtime confessions, Texan style. And, man, I made my mom cry today. I made my mom cry. I feel like a slime ball. Should I, though? We'll discuss with some confessions coming up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com?
We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.